Happy Tuesday, this October 15th, everybody. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long bringing you till 7 o'clock. That's when the Saints Hour will take over with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, will have with him tonight. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also Denver Broncos reporter, and also a former local reporter for WVUE. You might remember Lionel Bienvenu. He'll be here on the Saints Radio Network talking about the latest and greatest with those Denver Broncos getting ready for their trip to New Orleans. TikTok very soon, a Thursday night football, kind of getting like slapped in the face with this now after Monday night. They just had that Sunday game, and bam, we're going to be back talking about football again on Thursday for this Saints squad that's just reeling right now with injuries.
3 games in 10 days. I mean, it's brutal, especially after getting, you know, let's call it a blowout at home against the Buccaneers.
Not pretty at all, right?
And the injury report, Steve, that came out a little bit late today, but once again, very lengthy. So Mike and I actually haven't even brought that up, but
right,
a lot of names on there. Once again, as expected, in a short week, it's tough.
We're wondering, I saw some people tweeting it online as well, the fact with Denver and New Orleans, you know, between Sean Payton and Dennis Allen, was this injury report late today because, like, both sides were playing chicken with one another, not wanting to put it out first? But as you mentioned, Charlie, very lengthy for the Saints. We kind of figured that in looking at the players that did not practice today for this squad, you had Cesar Ruiz with that knee issue, Derek Carr still with the oblique injury, Pete Warner's dealing with a hamstring, Rashid Shaheed, a knee, and Chris Olave, a concussion, all not practicing. Obviously, those last two with Olave and Shaheed bring up pretty big concerns because those are wide receiver number one and wide receiver number two for you. So who the heck is catching the ball for you on Thursday night if you don't have those two available?
So another thing to note is that it was a walkthrough today. It wasn't a full physical practice.
Right.
And I mean, when DA was asked about the tackling issues that they had in that game against the Buccaneers, and to be fair, the tackling issues that they've had for the last 3 weeks where they've missed double-digit tackles against the Falcons, Kansas City, and Tampa, and it's just getting worse week after week, where it was 10 versus Atlanta, and it was 13 versus Kansas City, and then 15, which is a season high versus the Bucs, that they can't really work on it physically because it's a short week. So they had a walkthrough today, as you mentioned. You know, the DMPs for Cesar Ruiz, Derek Carr, Pete Warner, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave. Yeah, it's to say it's a banged up receiver room for this team. And you see all the, you know, Mike and I talked about this in the first segment of the show, Cleveland moving Amari Cooper
right
to the Bills. And then, you know, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers making that splash to go trade for Devontae Adams from the Raiders. So teams are adding and bolstering their wide receiver rooms. The Saints wide receiver room, as you mentioned, it's like Cedric Wilson and Bub Means.
I got to imagine Equanimeous St. Brown's going to get called up.
Exactly. He's probably going to be involved. But, I mean, is it going to be the tight end again this week? Like, that was one of the kind of silver linings for
Spencer Rattler's
debut performance, was that he got Juwan Johnson involved early. Foster Moreau caught a couple balls. I think that's what it's going to have to be again this year or this week, because on a short week with, you know, your top two guys out, it's going to be difficult for Spencer Rattler to get things going without his targets.
Yeah, and I'm still have some kind of hope, I'll say, at least for Rashid Shaheed, has a knee issue. But with a guy like Chris Olave, we know he's dealing with a concussion, and going through the NFL's protocol, I just don't feel there is any way possible you clear that concussion protocol in time for a Thursday night football game. Looking at also the players who were limited today in this extensive injury list, Taysom Hill with a rib, Peyton Turner knee, Alvin Kamara his hand, also Nathan Shepard groin, JT Gray calf, Alante Taylor shoulder, and Cedric Wilson Jr. ankle. Practicing in full for the Saints, a positive at least here, was Carl Granderson, who was dealing with a neck issue, was limited Monday, upgraded to a full go today. Also had Tyrann Mathieu full practice, Willie Gay full, and Bub Means full practice right there. So that's the entire injury rundown for this black and gold bunch. Hopefully we get some better news tomorrow. And obviously when that injury report comes out, that'll be the final one for this week. And we'll find out game statuses for Thursday night football against those Denver Broncos.
It's so weird because typically Wednesday's the first day.
Right, exactly.
Practice. Short weeks are just tough. It's so strange. So, yeah, I mean, we're about to get to some Rattler audio here in a second, Steve, and hear what he had to say. But you don't really know what to expect in this game for him against the Broncos defense, which has been the strength of their team. and going against a strong D-line. Even without Pat Surtain, it's still a decent secondary. Without potentially, obviously, as you mentioned, Chris Olave is going to be out. And do you have any kind of hope that Shaheed would potentially be available? I mean, it's too really early to tell.
Very slightly hopeful.
Yeah, but the fact that he was listed as a DNP both the first 2 days, right. I know that it's, you know, it's been walkthroughs the first 2 days. I haven't really physically practiced because they're doing recovery, but I don't feel good about it.
No, definitely not. And you look at it with Spencer Rattler, we're hoping that this team can find some kind of running game to give him a hand. Obviously, Kendra Miller, getting him back in the mix would be nice. We haven't seen him. We've talked about it a ton. Haven't seen him forever. Obviously, hasn't played a game since last season, but really hasn't been a part of this team for most of the offseason program, dealing with injuries. And we know that first day of training camp practice, had the hamstring issue, just finally worked his way back in the mix, hasn't been able to partake in the last two games for this Saints squad, and have really needed it. Then hopefully now going into this game against Denver, you can get something back. But poor Spencer Rattler, man, you're looking at this game against a Denver Broncos bunch, and your top two targets are potentially gone.
You need Kendra Miller in this game because Kamara is also banged up. I mean, the offensive side, and when we were talking with listeners about this earlier, about the Saints' injuries, a lot of them are on offense. They're not on defense, and that's what makes the defense falling apart so strange and peculiar.
Yeah,
is that if you could obviously blame, you know, the collapse so far, this four-game losing skid, on injuries, but the injuries are almost all centered on offense. Like, Pete Werner is the main injury on defense right now. I know DeMario missed a game as well, but the Saints secondary has been relatively healthy. Their defensive line has been pretty healthy, and they're just not playing well right now. So, but on offense, yes, like, that's where you've been ravaged.
You mentioned we got that Spencer Rattler audio. He spoke today with the media as he gets ready for his second career start, a Thursday night bout, prime time, against Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. Here's what the Rattler had to say after today's practice.
When you left the field, or when you reviewed the film, is probably a better question. What are the one or two things that you're most eager to? I learned that now. I can't wait to improve that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say you know, just chilling a little bit in the pocket. You know, don't try to extend too much when not needed. Listen to your feet. And then just maintaining elite focus every single rep throughout the game, no matter the score. You know, take completions and move the chains.
I ask if you can do more, if he can open things up a little bit more for you in game two. He said yes. What more can you do? What's the next thing for you? And how much more of the offense could you now be seeing this week? I'm guessing you're looking forward to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we ran a lot of offense in this last game. You know, I don't think Clint's holding back at all. You know, that wasn't our plan going into it. You know, obviously, each of us had to prepare at a high level in this system. So, you know, can handle everything as a group. I think, you know, got a lot of young guys playing this game. So, you know, not a lot of time this week to put a ton of stuff in, but we got a lot of good stuff in, so we could open up and do whatever Clint thinks will work. We trust him. He's a great coach, great mind, and we just got to go out there and execute.
This week you have another really good defense coming in. The Broncos ranked top five in the league in total and scoring defense. When you watch them on film, what maybe stands out the most about why they're successful?
Yeah, you know, they got talented players, you know, all over. Really good front. They're going to show us a lot of coverages and blitzes on third down specifically. So we have to have a good plan. I think we have a good plan. And we have to keep practicing it for the next 40 hours or so, 48 hours, and just be dialed in into the little details. It all comes down to the little details.
Transition to the NFL level. Is the quality of the defensive back play difficult to kind of just reset in terms of, hey, this is a throw maybe I could have made in college? You can't really get away with the same type of throw in the NFL. Is that something you have to adjust to?
Everybody's good at this level. You know, the funny thing is, not funny, but same dude that was at Georgia last year picked me off in this game. So I was seeing a lot of talent, obviously, in the SEC, but this is the NFL. You know, these guys are good at every position. So you have to respect that, but also attack them. You know, you can't play scared. So we're not playing scared.
You and Bo Nix, in a sense, were drafted right next to each other. did you spend much time with the Broncos since they were in quarterback process, or like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had an official visit with them, private workout, everything. you know, we did a lot with him. But, you know, it's cool to be able to go out there and be on the same field as Bo. You know, obviously coming out, same class of high school, been around each other since high school, you know, competing at camps and stuff like that. So excited to go out there and play.
You've been watching his. I think he started with, like, no touchdowns and four picks early, and now it, like, quickly got in the groove.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's different for everybody. You know, everybody's going to – it's not easy to just come in here and succeed, you know, off the bat. So, you know, like watching all these rookie quarterbacks play and kind of see how they're managing the game and stuff like that. But, respect Bo.
When you watch him, what is the thing that sticks out to you? That's what he's really good at.
Yeah, I mean, he's athletic. He can move around, make plays with his legs. Very smart player, high IQ guy. I know he's a coach's son, so been around the game a long time. And then, you know, one thing I respect about Bo is, you know, he started in the SEC, battled through adversity, went on somewhere else and was successful as well. So respect that about Bo. You know, have similarities with him in that way. So I got to respect that.
That was Spencer Rattler talking to the Saints media today as the Black and Gold get ready for Thursday night football against the Denver Broncos. And yeah, you heard him there talking at the end about the Denver rookie quarterback and Bo Nix. Definitely going to be an interesting matchup here, which rookie will end up prevailing on Thursday night. Both defenses have been the calling card of the teams this year, not so much the Saints the last two games, though, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first half of the season, like so far, yes, the Saints defense was supposed to be the calling card. Not exactly the last couple of weeks, but it's going to have to be again. Because as we mentioned, with all the injuries on the Saints offense, you're going against a good Denver defense. Saints defense has to step up.
You still happen to see the Pro Football Focus grades for last game came out. You'll never guess if you didn't.
I saw.
Okay, the
Trevor
highest
Penning.
Graded player, Trevor Penning. Something we did not expect going into this year.
Yeah, four of the five were on offense. And the one defender that was in the top five of PFF grades for that game was Jordan Howden.
Surprisingly, right?
Yeah, jeez. Terrible.
We will take a break. When we get back, we're going to get into some Pelicans talk. Preseason basketball tonight, you can hear right here on 870 AM. Coming up 6:30 is pregame coverage, Pelicans-Houston, then a 7 o'clock tip-off. Like I said, you can hear that on WWL 870 AM. When we get back, Ali Cosell, NBA writer, will join us to break down this squad right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk on Tuesday, October 15, and it's the Pelicans preseason finale. Right now you can turn over to 870 AM. That'll be pregame coverage of the game against Houston and then a 7 o'clock tip-off against the Rockets in the preseason finale to help talk about that. And obviously getting closer to the regular season, the real deal for the Pellies. Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer. Always great stuff to talk to you, Ali. And how you been doing, man?
Hey, Steve, Charlie, I've been doing well. Yeah, we're just, what, tomorrow? It'll be a week from tomorrow,
yes,
regular
sir.
Season. Yeah, it's upon us.
Looking out, obviously, the team got one of their preseason games taken away at Orlando thanks to the hurricane. Ended up having their match in Miami, though, on Saturday. They end up losing 101-99. Sorry, it was a Sunday game. Obviously, caught up with the Saints that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and really didn't get to get too much into that game against the Heat, Ali. What happened there? I saw that at least Zion had 13 points, and I think it was 17 minutes of a play. Was really the standout player for them there. But other than that, what happened to that Pelicans matchup against the Miami Heat?
Yeah, what essentially happened was turnovers. That's what led to the loss, even though you don't care about preseason wins and losses. But
sure.
That's just something that is a bit of a concern, right? For the Pelicans, in order to execute their small ball strategy, right, we're going to see it this year. I know we've talked about it all summer, it seems like, right, Steve? But they're not going to be able to create those turnovers. They're not going to be able to have, like, even Zion. He's looked like he's ready for the regular season. But even he had, like, I want to say three catchable passes just go through his hands. It seemed like all the Pelicans just kind of went through the motions. Of course, Willie Green spoke about it afterwards and said it was rust, right? The Pelicans had only played one preseason game before that. And like you mentioned, Hurricane Milton ruined another matchup against the Magic in Orlando. So I think we probably have to write it off. But again, I think there's some growing pains, right, with DeJounte Murray. To me, it seems like more than anything, he's got the skill set, right? Well, I've seen it defensively. I've seen when he wants to turn it on and score, he has. And he sets up his teammates. But one thing I'm noticing is he's still feeling himself out. So when the team starts, when the game starts, he's looking for teammates exclusively. He doesn't seem to start looking for a shot until either Zion or CJ has sat down, right? Less of those big three, big four out there, if you include BI. I think that's when DeJounte thinks in his head he should score. So I think, like I said, they've got to figure that out. And, of course, playing with Daniel Tice, new center. But you, what you do like, and I should say this, yeah, it's, who cares about preseason, but, yeah, the turnovers are a problem. But what you're liking is they're getting up a lot of threes. You know, against Orlando, I think they surpassed 43 point attempts, almost got there against Miami. And that, if that can continue in the regular season, that bodes well. Because last year, they shot lights out, guys. I don't have to tell you, but maybe some of the audience, they were the fourth best three-point shooting team in the league last season. The problem is they just didn't shoot enough. They were 24th in attempts. So if they can just keep those attempts up going the regular season and start knocking them down like we expect them to, they'll be fine. Because I was impressed that rebounding has not been a problem. Like, they basically held their own for the most part, just the turnovers.
Ollie, any word on if Brandon Ingram's going to play tonight? I know he didn't take part in the first two games for the Pels. Are just being cautious with him, or could we see him getting some action this evening?
Oh, yeah, Brandon Ingram's in. Zion's going to sit tonight.
Okay.
So with Brandon, yeah, it wasn't a concern about anything other than Willie Green and both Brandon Ingram decided it was best for him just to kind of break into the season slowly, right? Because he spent most of the summer rehabbing, according to him, on media day. So, again, this is something he's just gearing up for, a long 82-game regular season. And this isn't out of the ordinary. If people remember, I think a couple years ago, Willie Green's first year here, Brandon only appeared in one preseason game. So he's missed plenty of them in his career, just like Zion, just like a lot of these top-tier names across the league do every year.
What is the name for you, Ollie, at least so far in the preseason, the limited action that we've seen so far, that maybe a lesser name or a person that we haven't been talking about a lot that has really stood out to you in a positive light?
Yeah, there's been several. I'll say Javonte Green is probably the most impressive because I didn't know much about him.
Right.
But I think he's gonna carve out a role for Willie Green, right? There's no Najee Marshall, no Dyson Daniels, and we know that Willie loves to preach defense and, of course, focus on that end first. And I think Javonte Green probably brings the best skill set for that off the bench. So I think he's going to see regular minutes. And so far, I've been impressed. I see him competing, even though he's not that tall. He's about 6'4", but he's had a couple blocks, a couple steals. He runs on a fast break well. And he's hit, I think, a three or two so far in preseason. So I like what I've seen from him. I think you have to be happy about Jordan Hawkins, right? Summer league, you just weren't impressed, right? You didn't see any improvement from the previous year. But for some reason, in these two preseason games, Jordan Hawkins is looking more aggressive, more confident. And he's honestly shot the ball better than pretty much all the other Pelicans. Even heard he's had a good camp when they were up in Nashville for a week. And I guess we also have to touch on Daniel Tice. I think he's going to be a seamless fit for him. When you just watch him out there, he knows where to be at all times.
I'd like to hear that.
He knows when to pass the ball, when to set screens. So the Pelicans want to play five out, meaning all the guys are going to stand outside, basically a three-point arc. I think Daniel Tice is ready to do that for him, something that Jonas Valanciunas couldn't do last year.
Ollie, that's a great way of transitioning into my question here, so I appreciate that. But I wanted to ask you about Tice and, you know, specifically the comments about who's going to be playing at the five and whatnot and the small ball lineups that you've already kind of mentioned so far in this interview. It's just that, you know, he's started in each of the first two preseason games. I would expect that he probably starts again today or tonight against the Houston Rockets, especially with Zion not playing. B.I. kind of shifts into the starting lineup, I would imagine, because he's going to be making his debut with the Pels for this upcoming preseason matchup. But when you get to the regular season, which is, as you mentioned, is just over a week away, I mean, is it just going to be a fluid situation with the starting lineup where Tice will be starting on some nights, but then other nights they'll go with that small ball lineup depending on the matchup? Because I think at the same time, if you're starting Tice against some of those bigger body centers, that takes a lot of the wear and tear off of someone like Herb Jones or even Trey Murphy if they have to play the five on any given night.
Yeah, absolutely, Troy. I think, look, Willie alluded to it right off the bat, and that's been the consistent message throughout training camp preseason, is that they're not so much focused on starting lineups, right? He's more concerned about matchups. He spoke about that exclusively, talked about how there's going to be some nights, a ton of games where we're not even going to have a traditional center. That would seem to echo, right, that probably Tice would start on the bench. C.J. McCollum, DeJounte Murray, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, Herb Jones, that would be your starting five. So I'm curious to see it, right? And I think we're going to see it as soon as next week, right, against the Chicago Bulls. Yes, they got, you know, Nikola Vucevic, right? He's a traditional center, about 7 feet tall, weighs about 260 or something. But I think the Pelicans could take advantage of him they're playing fast. And I'm curious how many times they opt to do that, right? Yes, you're at a disadvantage because you're going to have to find somebody who's got a body and put a body on, like, their biggest guys, keep them out of the paint. But Vucevic likes to play outside. So I think that would be an optimal time to try small ball. And I think Willie Green's going to use that more than we probably expect, right? He's a traditional coach in most of our eyes. Defense first, has always kind of made offense secondary, and he's always honestly liked to play at least some kind of center out there. I think that's all going to change this year, guys. I think we're going to see a lot of the small ball this year, more than probably just about every team in the league.
Mentioned, Ollie, obviously tonight is the preseason finale. Then in 8 more days, the Pels will open the season against the Chicago Bulls. What are some of the things that you need to see from this team tonight in the preseason finale going into the regular season that just hasn't been there in maybe the previous 2 games?
Yeah, the defense has been there. Like I said, I've been pleasantly surprised by the rebounding, right? The small guys are doing their stuff, like whether it's CJ, Jordan, Hawkins, you name it. They're chipping in on the glass. But what you got to see is just cleaner basketball. That allows you, of course, to get out in transition. And when you have 24 turnovers like they did against the Miami Heat, well, suddenly you're giving the other team chances to run against you, and that's what happened. I think the Heat scored 30 fast break points. And if that happens to the Pelicans and they can't hit their threes, they're going to lose just about every single one of those games. So they've got to just be clean, right? You want to play fast, but you've got to be clean. They've got the weapons, right? We've seen in the past when this team gets up and down the court, they're pretty darn unstoppable. Now they've got DeJounte Murray as their point guard. Well, it makes it basically a necessity you get out and run. But like I said, you can't have all these crazy bad turnovers. So I hope they clean it up before that game against the Bulls. But if they can, I think this team will be fine. I really do. I think a lot of people don't know what to expect of the Pelicans. But if this defense carries, like I said, it has shown us through 2 preseason games, and the rebound is not an issue, I think eventually this offense is going to turn into kind of a juggernaut. Like, those threes are going to start going down.
So, Ollie, before we let you run, I wanted to ask about Trey Murphy. It's likely going to be the second straight season that he doesn't start the season off with the team. Mm-hmm. Granted, you're kind of more optimistic about his potential timeline with this hamstring injury than you were last year with the leg injury that kept him out basically for the first month or so of action. But Trey Murphy, you know, he's still someone that we're all really, really high on. We can't wait to watch him play. Still waiting on that extension for him as well. But this injury that he suffered, I think it was during training camp, super unfortunate timing because, the 2 weeks basically put you right at the start of the season. So what's kind of the latest on Trey?
Yeah, it's still, they're going to do another evaluation pretty much, I think, probably the day before the regular season starts. And then I think we'll get a definitive timeline. So, no, nobody's expecting him to be ready for game one. But the thing is, he's not going to miss as many games as he did last year with that knee injury, because we've already noticed in practice that he's already doing jump shooting, right? That's where we saw with that knee last year. He wasn't allowed to get off the ground for over a month, or it seemed like about a month or so. And like I said, a couple of days into this injury, we've already seen him take legitimate jump shots. So he's going to be much closer to being ready for the first game. But again, like I said, I'm not expecting it. I'm guessing, honestly, he'll probably miss about 4 or 5 games. I'm looking, his first game might come when the Pelicans finish, what is it? They've got a 4-game road trip after that opening night here in New Orleans against the Bulls. Maybe for that next homestand, which I think would be the 1st of November, that's when we might see Trey.
Our go-to guy for all things Pelicans, Ali Cosell. Always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely. You guys do the same, and I'm telling you guys, I'm excited about this season. I hope you are as well.
Ollie, I didn't ask you any Bulls questions because I know we'll have you back on within the next week to preview that for opener against the Chicago Bulls. And Lonzo Ball making his return as well.
Yeah.
That's a cool storyline to kind of talk about. But we'll get all to that within the next week or so.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Ollie.
Ali Cosell, right. Credentialed NBA writer that covers the Pelicans. You can follow him at Ali Cosell, OleHKosel on Twitter. Getting ready for that 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM right now. It's pregame coverage of the Pelicans Radio Network here on WWL. We're going to take a break, be back with more sports talk on 105.3 FM right after this on WWL. Welcome back into sports talk on 105.3 FM. If you're looking for the Pelicans pregame coverage, that is on 870 AM, as will tip-off at 7 PM. Coming up on 105.3 on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network at 7 will be the Saints Hour, featuring Mike Hoss. He's got with him Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, also Broncos reporter Lionel Bienvenu. You can hear that on the Saints Hour coming up at 7 o'clock. Charlie, you pointed out this article to me on ESPN that just came out ranking the top 100 players in the NBA. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'll check it out. And I'm going in, 1, 2, 3... The fourth player in, ranked number 97, Herb Jones.
Okay, let me preface this by saying that I'm just going to complain about this because Herb is unbelievably underrated. I mean, you're talking about the best wing defender in the NBA. And as Bobby always says, that's not an opinion, that's a fact. He was the only wing voted to a first-team All-NBA defensive team this past year. All the others were bigs.
Wow.
Herb Jones is the guy, the premier NBA wing defender. And he's ranked number 97 on ESPN's top 100 NBA players list. I'm sorry, what? And then you look at some of the names above him. Like, listen, like, I'll get to some of those in a second. The funniest thing about this list, though, in this article, is the first thing that it says is maybe Jones should rank higher here.
Maybe.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he should. And I know these preseason lists don't mean anything, so I'm just complaining to complain. But it's dumb, and I want to defend Herb because he's fantastic. He's underrated, criminally underrated, because you're looking above him. Al Horford. What? Steve, for the 2024-25 season, you taking Al Horford over Herb Jones? I'm not. Further above him, Jalen Suggs. What? I mean, Jalen Suggs is known for his defense. Herb is a better defender. Sorry, he just is. Further than that, Keegan Murray. I'd take Herb over Keegan. Like, Keegan's got a high ceiling. I like Keegan Murray. I like Herb Jones more. I think Herb Jones could lock down Keegan Murray on any given night, too. Brooke Lopez, Jabari Smith for the Houston Rockets. What are we doing?
I was saying even Valanciunas.
Jonas Valanciunas at 91.
Man couldn't even get minutes at the end of the season.
Over Herb Jones? What?
Charlie's going to lose it today.
Andrew Wiggins? I don't know, man. Jaime Jaquez? I'm taking Herb Jones over all these players.
I'm looking here who put out this article. It just says ESPN Insider, so you can take it up with them.
Listen, and I respect Lou Dort, what he did against Brandon Ingram.
For sure, right.
To be fair, a one-legged Brandon Ingram in the playoffs. Herb Jones is better. I'm just saying. Lou Dort was in a first-team All-NBA defensive player this past year. And, like, are they expecting him to take a step back? I don't know. Like, why would he? He's only shown development and improved every single year that he's been in the NBA. So my entire point of this rant that I'm going on right now, Herb Jones is criminally underrated, and I hope he sees this. I hope he comes into the year with a chip on his shoulder. And to be fair, let me put this out there as well. I don't like the idea of him playing five for this team, playing
agree,
at the center
totally.
Spot. I think he's not big enough. He just isn't. And so, yes, the idea of you're playing fast and you're playing the small ball lineup and you're just rolling teams offensively, I can understand that. But why would you take the best wing defender and take him off the wing and put him underneath and bang bodies with the big guys?
Right.
I don't like that at all. So I'm taking that report from Shams with a grain of salt. I like Willie. I'll have to kind of see what he decides to do. But until I see it, I think that Herb Jones is going to stay where he's perfect at right now for this team as the best wing defender in the NBA.
With this article, Charlie, we're waiting for the first 1 through 50 to come out. The only other Pelicans player in the list from 51 to 100, C.J. McCollum coming in at number 84.
Yeah, I mean, C.J.'s there. Klay Thompson at 71, too. Man, this is a terrible list. Like, what are we doing?
You seem to get a lot of guys here just getting higher.
Josh Hart at 61.
Name recognition seems to be a big factor here.
What? Like, they have Dante DiVincenzo above Herb Jones. I can't with this, Steve. This is a terrible list from ESPN. And Alex Caruso. Like, Herb Jones does what these other players do well better than they do, which is defense. Like, the defensive-first players. And Herb's improvement shooting as well. Like, year to year, he turned into a legitimate, you know, not just an elite defensive wing, but also a legitimate shooting option for this team. Shot 41% from three this past year. 49% overall.
Right.
Averaged a career high 11 points per game. Herb is a core building block of this team. And this is after he got paid, by the way. And I hate to see someone, I guess, go underappreciated is what I'm trying to say. Because I just think that, you know, and once again, this list does not matter by any stretch of the imagination.
Do you think they don't even have Trey Murphy in the top 100? Because I can't imagine he's going to be in the first 50.
I don't think they will. I think he would have been around that, you know, general vicinity of like a CJ or a Herb, but he's not going to probably be on this list. Trey's going to be that guy that's flying under the radar entering the year, but keep an eye on him. Because once Trey gets healthy from this hamstring injury, which it stinks that he's having to deal with right now, I can't wait to watch Trey Murphy play basketball for the Pels this year.
Do you think they have Brandon Ingram in the top 50 of their list?
I would imagine so. Maybe he's on the back end of it, like closer to 50 or 40s. But then again, I have no idea. It's a bad list.
Yeah, I'm curious, obviously, too, to see where Zion ends up. Injuries weren't an issue for him last season, thankfully, until that final game, obviously, before the postseason started. But interested to see how, obviously, Zion builds into this season after last year and where, like, this ESPN ranking would have him.
I'm with Ollie, man. I'm excited for this year. Like, the Pelicans have a ton of talent. Now, it's really loaded at wing.
Yeah.
And at guard, Daniel Tice is going to be their center. Now, if he's the starting center, we'll have to see.
It works, it'll be brilliant. But yeah, then all of a sudden, if it's not, they'll, fans will be knocking.
We'll see what Willie decides to do. And I trust him with whatever he ends up, going for. But as far as Herb Jones and being one of the main wings on this team that you just love to see, because the Pelicans for so many years didn't have any wings. And now you got B.I. and you got Herb and you got Trey. And they're all coming into the year and they give you hope.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We will wrap things up, then hand it off to the Saints Hour coming up at 7 o'clock. So stay tuned right here on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into Sports Talk. The Pelicans taking on the Rockets tonight in Houston. The preseason finale. You can hear the game on the big 870 AM. Pre-game's going on right now. The tip-off at 7 p.m. while the Pels are on 870. We'll continue with regular programming. Sports Talk obviously wrapping up now. And coming up next, the Saints Hour with Mike Haas right here on 105.3 and the Odyssey app. Then at 8 o'clock, Pelicans basketball will be both on WWL AM and FM and across of all of WWL's multimedia platforms. Thanks for tuning in to today's shows, folks. We'll have tomorrow's breakdown of the final injury report as we get ready for bing bang boom Thursday night football already in action. Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. Have a great night, everybody. Up next, the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. See you later, folks. Bye.